Welcome to the Central Florida Buzz with Mike Kara, the podcast for Central Floridians who want to be in the know on what's happening in Orange, Lake, Osceola, and Seminole counties. Sponsored by the Central Florida Home Brewers, the premier craft and homebrew club. Learn to brew beer, kombucha, mead, or make wine. Visit www.cfhb.org. Now, here's your host, Mike Kara.
Well, welcome back to our next edition of the Mike Kara Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz, here at Front Row Sports Bar and Grill, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Ocoee, Florida. Well, my guest today is Melissa Tanner, who is the president of the Ocoee Lions Club. And Melissa, it's such a pleasure and honor that you could join me today. And I'm so glad we could finally talk about the Ocoee Lions Club. I know you do so much great work in the community. And first of all, let's talk a little bit about the Lions Club in general. I'm sure our audience does know, a very intelligent audience knows what the Lions Club is all about. But just for a refresher course, can you tell us a little bit about the Lions Club and the Ocoee Lions Club, that, and how it all fits together?
Sure. So first, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate you asking. Sure. So the Ocoee Lions Club itself, we have been a club for over 70 years. 1948 is when it was founded. Some of the things that the Lions Club itself does, EyeSight is a big program. We do a lot of things with eye care where people that can't afford glasses can come to us, and we have several programs we can work through to help them get glasses. But we also recycle and reuse glasses. So, for instance, if you had to go to the eye doctor and get new glasses, you can recycle your old ones versus throwing them in the trash. They come to us. We get them cleaned. We get them tested for what their strength is, and then they're available to be redistributed. So for if you guys know about the recent hurricane that happened in Bahamas, was just, you know, totally devastated, we did send over 500 eyeglasses and almost 3,000 pairs of sunglasses down there, which people might think, why sunglasses? Well, the sun is bright, and when you're trying to do things in the sun and you probably didn't think to do anything with your eyeglasses or sunglasses, we sent those down there to try to help them out in, you know, for something they have a need. Besides the eyes, we deal with hearing. So we actually do take old hearing aids, get them cleaned up, get them redistributed. We can also help people if there is a need, you know, to help them get their hearing tested. We do programs throughout the year where we offer free health screenings. So we do test eyesight for both adults and for children. We test for diabetes. That's another program that's pretty big in the Lions Club, helping people with diabetes. Believe it or not, diabetes and eye care go hand in hand a lot of times. Some people have both issues. They go blind from the diabetes. And then we also deal with disaster recovery is another big program that's become pretty big recently. We have a lot of initiatives in the community now. We are working with the West Orange High School, as well as the Ocoee High School, Apopka High School, several others in the area, and they're collecting glasses. So they're trying to collect 2,020 glasses for the year 2020 for 2020 vision. So it's a neat program that the vice principal at the Windermere High School thought of, and they're collecting glasses at the high school. So if you have glasses, you can send them with your kid to school, and they can, you know, they will be collecting them over time. We also have a lot of programs now with pediatric stuff, especially pediatric cancer, where we gather backpacks that have, like, stuffed animals, things they can read and write with, and they take them to the hospitals like Winnie Palmer and hand them out to the kids, you know, try to hopefully brighten their day. So that's some of the big programs. A couple of new things that are going on this year. We are collecting socks for the homeless, so that's a program. You can drop them off at our club. And we are collecting bottle caps. It's a program between adults and kids. We're working with the Ocoee Elementary School, and they have a competition going on to see which class can collect the most bottle caps or lids. And after we get 400 pounds, they get melted down and made into a park bench that they'll put at the school. So it kind of is cool for the kids. They get in, you know, used to now environment. They're getting exposed to recycling. They're getting exposed to working with others. And then there's the healthy competition. Whichever classroom collects the most is going to get a free pizza party. So the kids are excited about that. So that's some of the things.
Oh, fantastic, Melissa. So I have a question about these glasses. So for me, and I know maybe there are other listeners out there that have 30 years of dozens of glasses piling up. Can you use those?
Oh, most certainly.
Can you use my 1983 glasses for a kid?
Yeah, most certainly. So whether it's a kid or an adult, we work with a couple of colleges, but one example is UFC has a Lions Club there with their campus, and they go down to Honduras and Nicaragua and places, and they take glasses with them and hand them out.
Nice.
But yeah, most certainly. Walmart has a drop-off. I don't know. So the Walmart here in Ocoee actually has a bin. Most eye doctors have a drop-off. So like Dr. Shannon that's here, or Dr. Byer, Shannon Byer, he's got one at his office. But we also have a mailbox at our front porch of our facility at 108 Taylor Street. They can put them in there, and we'll take them. Four times a year, we take all the glasses that are gathered in this area, and we get them cleaned up, sorted, redistributed. So it's a big event. If people ever want to volunteer to help us sort, that's awesome. We're always looking for people to help, because it's the last one, I think they did like 41,000 pieces.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's not just eyeglasses. We take readers and sunglasses, both prescription and non-prescription as well.
Oh, so if people have, again, piles of sunglasses, you're pretty much going to be able to use all of that.
Yeah, we can take even frames, just not the loose lenses. So, if your lenses have fallen out, throw those out. But we'll take the frames, and they can get those repurposed to somebody that needs them.
Oh, and we want to let everyone know, Melissa, that you're located right off the downtown Ocoee then. So, I mean, it's very convenient to just stop by and put him in there. You could just jump in and jump out.
Right, exactly. We're right off of McKee Street, right across the tracks from the Ocoee Taco, if you guys know where that is. And like you said, you can pull up.
Yep.
There's a mailbox right there. Just stick him in the mailbox, and you can head on out.
Great. And so we want to talk about, you know, some of the events throughout this. And one of the things I wanted to start talking about, because, you know, Halloween is sort of just around the corner, and you have a haunted asylum hospital. And I'm interested to find out, so are a lot of the people that are members of the club, are the monsters in that, or do you get a lot of teenagers to help, or how does that work?
It actually is a mix, and that's a really good question. We do have some members that are interested. So, like myself, I'm one of the actors. Our treasurer is an actor. And then we do open it up to the public. So if anybody's wanting to volunteer and they love to do that, you know, we've been seeking out actors for the last couple months. So we have several high school kids. We do have a few other adults that have volunteered. And then we also need makeup artists. So we let them, you know, volunteer for that as well. And they can use it for Bright Futures volunteer hours. It's a mix between club members, adults, and teenagers from the community.
And where do you usually hold that? Do you usually have that in the same place each year?
We do. We actually build it inside of the clubhouse. Our clubhouse is the old train depot.
Yeah.
So that in itself is kind of cool. But, we build it inside the house there at 108 Taylor Street. And we'll be starting to be open soon. So look for the signs. And I'll tell you the dates here in a little bit.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's great. So, I mean, is there a lot of planning? I mean, right now you're probably really into it. You're kind of wrapping up to have everything ready then, huh?
Yeah, we kind of did a campaign, too, to get sponsors this year, and we were really lucky. We have four sponsors, three of which are from this community, that are helping us money-wise. So Franco's Pizza donated money. Toll Road Brewery there. That's brand new.
I don't know that one.
So they donated some money, and then Omega Knives donated some money, and then we got Oriental Trading, which you probably have seen them. They're a nationwide company. They donated a lot of our costumes. We also got costumes that are, because it's a hospital, patient gowns. Health Central donated all of the patient gowns that we have. And then we needed food. Like, the actors are going to be there. They're going to be there for many hours. And we've had several donations of that. So Walmart's going to sponsor a couple of nights of the food. Carrera's in Winter Garden is going to sponsor a night of food. We have a couple of chefs that are going to cook for us a couple nights. So it's been kind of cool that the community's actually come to help us put this on. And yeah, we're definitely in the planning phases. And, you know, this year we're offering something fairly new. We tested it last year, but this year we're going to do it every night. So if you're somebody that likes Halloween, but you don't like to be scared, or maybe you have a little kid, or maybe someone with sensory disorders, or maybe someone that just doesn't like to be scared, or they can't handle loud noises, from 7 to 7:30, we're offering the no scare time. So people with those types of things could come, walk through the house, the actors will be in costume, the music will be off, there won't be the any of the things going on, you know, that might scare somebody. And then from 7:30 to 10, we'll be open full scare. So it'll be full event, everything, you know, music on and all that kind of stuff.
Great. And I mean, at this point, if there's members of the community that are interested in helping, you could find something that, to volunteer their time. You could find somewhere for them, huh?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We still need help with outside things like parking and that. So, you know, there are opportunities. We are starting to get full. So if it's something they want to do, the sooner the better.
Better get going on it.
Yeah, because believe it or not, we've had pretty good luck of getting volunteers.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I mean, the funds that are collected for this, do they go to any particular project or just a general fund? Or
so we are of a 501c3, so the money does go to our foundation account.
Foundation,
we actually do donations every year to several different charities, both local and statewide. So, for instance, like the Florida Eye Bank, we make a donation to them. So that's like if people need to go in and have their retinas, you know, repaired, or need to have glaucoma surgeries, things like that they can't afford, those donations go to help things like that. So it does go both local and more statewide type of programs.
Oh, that's great, Melissa. A lot of people don't realize how much you know supporting and making, you know, donation and going through this house actually helps. That's neat. We thought this was all for fun, but it's great to help the community while you're doing it.
Exactly, and it's not that expensive. If you like haunted houses, we're $5 to get through.
Oh, there you go.
And so, you know, it goes to a good cause, and we'll also be collecting glasses and hearing aids and socks those nights too, because those things, you know, go back into the community.
Okay, so socks, but not the shoes, they're just the socks.
Yeah,
so.
new socks.
New socks,
please.
I want to make sure. I don't want to hear, oh, you told us we could bring the shoes, socks, clothes. Yeah, so you're just looking mainly for the socks as far as that goes.
Yeah, it's kind of a special program that our district governor came up with. After some interviewing of homeless people, we asked what is the number one thing they wish they had more of, and it was new socks, because that's one of the things they don't have the luxury. You don't think about it being a luxury when you have them, but that's what they've asked for.
Oh, so you'll take any new socks so we could go to Walmart to get a big, real big pack?
Yep, definitely. So if you're interested, last thing is we're open October 18th and 19th. That's a Thursday, Friday. Friday, Saturday, and then we're open 24th, 25th, 26th, and on the 30th. So the last 2 weekends of October and then the night before Halloween.
Okay, with that, Melissa, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk about a lot of other great events and things you've got coming up. My guest today is Melissa Tanner, who is the president of the Ocoee Lions Club in Ocoee, Florida. You are listening to the Mike Cara Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz, here at Front Row Sports Bar and Grill, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Ocoee, Florida. And please stay with us for our next segment of this edition of our program today. Well, welcome back to our next segment of this edition of the Mike Cara Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz, here at Front Row Sports Bar and Grill, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Ocoee, Florida. And speaking of Ocoee, Florida, today we have Melissa Tanner from the Ocoee Lions Club. And Melissa, we've been talking about some of the events and all about, you know, the good work you do at the Ocoee Lions Club. And now the next event we want to talk about is the Turkey Shoot coming up. And I think you need to kind of little explain this before we get calls and emails.
We don't actually shoot turkeys. I just want to make that part clear. Yeah. So basically, this is an event where you can bring your shotguns. We provide the shells. That way it's fair for everybody.
Right.
It's $3.50 a shot, and we have up to 10 shooters, maybe 12 this year, and there'll be targets, and whoever gets closest to the target wins a $10 gift certificate. So we don't actually give turkeys away. We used to. We used to keep frozen ones, but it was kind of hard to keep them frozen, you know, and take the cooler out there. So now it's gift cards. And then occasionally we do what's called a 50-50, where 50-50 you buy into the pot, and whatever the pot ends up being, if you win, you get 50% of the pot. So that's kind of a fun thing. This year we're joint hosting the event with the Winter Garden Elks Lodge. And so we'll be hosting it there's four Saturdays that we do it, November 9th and the 23rd, and then again on December 14th and the 21st. And we basically start with an 8 o'clock sign up. People come, they start signing up, and then we start doing round after round after round after round. And we go till there's not enough people to shoot anymore. So it could be done at noon, or it could be done at 2, just depending on how many people show up.
Oh, great. And now it looks like you are involved in the Ocoee Christmas Parade. You have a float then?
We actually don't. We host it for the city.
Oh,
so,
you actually host the whole thing.
So we manage the entire process. We manage getting the registrants set up, get them put in the order they're going to be, contacting the local officials to get them in, providing like cars to some people. So like the Grand Marshal, we'll pick a Grand Marshal, which actually this year is going to be Dr. Redding from the West Orange High School, the choir director. You know, he got a Grammy last year for being a best music director for high school. So we'll have the Grand Marshal. So we basically manage the whole thing. If you want to enter a float, those are free. Yeah. All they ask is that you bring a toy that goes to the police department, right, and they for their toy drive for the children for Christmas. And we have everything from twirlers to bands to Jeeps that come and decorate their Jeeps. So it just really depends. And that'll be on December 7th. That's the first Saturday in December. And I don't know if a lot of people know, we host the Ocoee one in the morning, and so Winter Garden does theirs at 1 o'clock, so we're going to be at 10, and then Winter Garden's parade's at 1, and every year we kind of rotate who's early. So this year we're the early one, we're at 10 a.m.
Do you march to the Winter Garden Parade or no?
No, we don't. Right. No, but the Winter Garden Lions Club does host the Winter Garden Parade.
Okay, that's how it works.
Mainly just, we set up and we provide breakfast and stuff for like the Grand Marshal and the judges.
Nice. Yeah.
And then it's usually on like the radio and TV's there and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so then before we get to your next event, do you do like toy drives, or you do like a special like eyeglass or eyeglass thing just all year round? So.
Eyeglasses all year round. We do accept toys, and they'll go to the police department for their toy drive.
Okay,
and we do Christmas Day. We dress as Santa and go to the hospital here in Ocoee and give out like, you know, stuffed animals or puzzle books and things like that to those. Because, you know, being in the hospital on Christmas kind of stinks.
Yeah.
So that we kind of more focus on managing the parade and then, you know, doing that versus any other, you know, kind of special thing.
Okay. And now it looks like the next one is the, see if I can read there, the shared...
Shred project.
And then, you were talking about, can you tell us about this?
Sure. This is a newer project that we've started working on. That's a joint effort between the Ocoee Police Department, the Ocoee Women's Club, and the Ocoee Rotary, as well as us, the Ocoee Lions. And what we've organized is there are shred trucks that'll be at the police department. The date is March 14th. We start at 9. And these shred trucks are there where we can shred people's paperwork. So, like, I know a lot of people are going to electronics, but there still are people that do paper. And so we offer where the first box will get shredded. We shred it right in front of you so you see that it got shredded and put in the truck. The first box is free. And then the second through fifth boxes, we just ask for a donation of $5 a box. And again, the money goes to back into the community. The other thing they have at this event is the police department sets up a booth and talks about how to protect your identity. And so this whole thing revolves around making sure your paperwork gets disposed of properly. We're working to see if we can also do hard drives. We're not 100% sure on that yet, but if you had a hard drive from a computer that you wanted to dispose of, we would work to do that. So we're still trying to get those details worked out, but that might be something we also offer as people's being able to destroy their hard drives.
Okay, and so you have other events coming up that, you know, you're still kind of working on finalizing, but also is there other events like that you do every year that some of these events you're working on that you always do? Or
so the Christmas parade we've hosted for decades, I'm not even sure how long. The turkey shoots they've done for decades, that's been a long-standing project. The asylum, this is our fourth year, so it's only the fourth year for the haunted house. The shred event, this will be our second year when we host this next one. And then we're starting to do free health fairs. And we did one in 2016, and then we kind of took a pause, but we did two this year. We're hoping to do more next year, but it's an opportunity then for the community to come and get their eyesight checked, get their blood pressure checked, get diabetes screened, and then if they need to go see a doctor, we give them the information of what the results were that when we tested it, so they can go to their doctor, get the official test, and then get on whatever medication or whatever they need to have done. But that's becoming a more long-term program as well, I think, the free health fairs.
So that's something that you've been doing, you know, like I said, for a little bit, and it's great because it introduces, you know, the community, you know about good health and taking care of themselves, and I'm sure also there you have the eyeglass collection too.
Yes. Yeah, anytime we do an event, you can bring eyeglasses, sunglasses, and hearing aids. That's a given anytime we do any of those kind of things. Another long-term one you might have heard of, we do a golf tournament. So this will be our 15th year. Usually it's in May. We just don't have the details set yet, but we do a golf tournament. People can sponsor a hole. People can sponsor a team if they want, or a foursome can just enter. And again, all those proceeds go back into the community projects that we work on.
Great. So now, Melissa, we want to talk, you know, a little bit about, you know, the Lions Club and the Florida Lions Club. So to let everyone know is that now you're a part of 35O is the district mm-hmm. then. So is that a good portion of Florida then, or?
So Florida itself is broken out into, and we actually have Bahamas as part of our district, but the Florida is part of, Central Florida is part of District O.
Right.
And then District L is like up near the Panhandle, and then District I is slightly below that, and then N is like Miami, Key West, on down through that way, as well as the Bahamas. And how that's structured then is a local club like the Ocoee Club, we work up through a zone, so we're part of Zone 4. Then there's nine zones that make District O, and then there's four districts that make up the Florida district, and then Florida, there's U.S., and then there's international. So there is kind of a structure to it, and then each group, you know, each thing kind of feeds up and supports the things above it. So in Central Florida, I believe we have 55 Lions Clubs.
Wow.
Yeah. So and we're always looking to start new ones, so there's a few places that are looking to start new ones. But, yeah, if you think about it, that's pretty decent set of, you know, volunteers and things like that to help with all these projects.
Is there one Lions Club per town? Meaning, is there only one Orlando Lions Club?
That's actually a good question. No, not every town has a Lions Club, but a lot do. So, like Ocoee, we have one. Winter Garden has one. Claremont, they've combined with Mineola, so they have one. Lockhart has one. And then Orlando does.
Yeah.
But, like, Apopka, no, they don't have one. So it just really depends on the town if they have one or not. And then, like, Mount Dora, that's probably the most closest if you go north to us.
One thing, Melissa, we want to talk about is there's no real region or, you know, you're not limited to where you live. I mean, anyone, of course, you probably don't want to drive a long ways, but anyone really from anywhere is really welcome to become a member and to join the Ocoee Lions Club, even if you are in a town that has a Lions Club.
Right, yes, and definitely you're not restricted to joining just in the town you live in.
Right.
And there are Lions Clubs all over America. So, like, you know, if you're in Illinois, you'd find find the one closest to you, or here in Florida, you'd find the one closest. We've also got a few at colleges. So if you're a college student and you're interested, like UCF has a Lions Club.
Oh, great.
So it's not just limited to that. And then we also have Leo's Club. Leo's clubs are high school age kids that we have organized through their high schools. And then they help us with events, but then they also have their own projects that they work on. And again, it's teaching service to the community. One of our mottos is we serve, and so we kind of teach that to the Leos, and then a lot of Leos become Lions when they become adults.
So you're talking about the Ocoee Leos that in Ocoee, or
I wish we had a Leos club here in Ocoee. We do not.
Okay.
Lockhart has one, so all that right. would probably be the closest one to this area. So not every club has it. You know, it takes a lot of work to work with Leos because you know, you got to work with the high school. You got to get a high school that's willing to help sponsor it. So not every club has one. There are a few, though, around.
Okay. And you mentioned about, the Winter Garden Lions Club. I mean, is there certain projects that are, like, so big that several Lions clubs will go in on them together? Or?
Yeah, most certainly. So, like, the Winter Garden Lions Club is actually going to come and help us build the haunted house.
Oh,
so
great.
So we work with each other like that. We've worked on, like, Habitat for Humanity with other clubs. There's a food sort that they do here for Southwest Food Bank, and there's a few Lions clubs that go and volunteer out, you know, their time to that. But like the eyeglass sorts I mentioned that are once a quarter, there's probably 10 different Lions clubs that will come to that event and help put the hours in to do the eyeglass thing. So it just really depends on the event and the person. I have a job, so I can't do all the volunteer things, but a lot of the retirees, they might spend every day doing something, working with other clubs. Some of the clubs, like Lake Alfred has a club, they offer bingo. So, see, that's also something. The community comes, they play bingo. It's regulated by the Florida, you know, gaming lotteries type stuff. And they get a huge turnout, hundreds of people. So sometimes they need help from other clubs, you know, with like helping with food or whatever. So, yeah, we always try to help each other out if we can.
And you also mentioned that, you know, working with the Elks Club. So, I mean, the Lions can even work with other service organizations in the community, not just Lions clubs.
Right. So, like, with the Shred event, we're working with the Police Department, the Rotary Club, and the Women's Club.
There
you're actually got four different organizations working together. That's a local community-type organization.
So you mentioned about being in the district. So as president, do you kind of need to go to some of these meetings then?
I do. We have zone meetings three times a year, and so I go to the zone meetings. And then I personally am also a chair for District O. I'm the chair of their IT thing, so social media, website. And then I also am the website administrator for Project Right to Sight, which is who does all the eyeglass sorting and things like that. It's the special project. So there are Lions that have multiple hats. So depending on the day will depend on the different hat I put on. But, yeah, I do have to report three times a year up to the zone. What are we working on? What are anything we need help with? What can they, you know, is there anything the district can do for us? That kind of thing.
So there's a lot of that convention. I mean, does each district or region have a convention? I mean, is there lots of conventions? Or
There actually kind of are. But, yes, once a year, District 35, which is all of Florida, we have a joint convention. Once a year, just our District O has a convention. And then there's the International Convention.
Yeah.
This year it was in Milan. So it's a different country and city is picked each year. Believe it or not, the current president over the entire Lions Club organization's from South Korea. So it's not just an American thing. It is international. And but there is conventions, quite a few. They just got done having a convention. There's a joint effort between the U.S. and Canada about education and different programs and stuff, and they just finished. That convention was in Seattle last week. So there's several different conventions around that we go to as well as host.
Oh, do you host? I mean, the district then will host these conventions then?
Yeah, so like November, my particular district has a convention here in Orlando that we'll host. And then, like, there's a diabetes convention that we'll go to and have speakers at and stuff. And so those might be hosted by a joint effort between like a Lions and the Diabetes Association. So it just really depends on the different convention, what, how much we're involved versus, you know, how much we're just an attendee or whatever.
So, Melissa, you have that opportunity to, you know, call on, like, if you're doing something with the diabetes, you have the ability to go to the Diabetes Association. You want to go in on this. You want to help us with this.
Well, and not only just that, like, we have different relationships with doctors, like ophthalmologists, where they might, when we do the kid eye screening, a picture actually of the eye gets sent to the ophthalmologist, and he looks at it, he or she looks at it, and then they decide if the child needs glasses or not, or something else. And believe it or not, 2 years ago, I think it was, there's a club in Lake Sumter that has the eye screening device. It's like $8,000 for this eye screening device for kids, and they were screening local preschools, and a little boy got screened and he had a tumor in his eye, and the ophthalmologist caught it, got a hold of the parents, they were able to catch it early, save his eye, save his eyesight. So screening's important, and we offer a lot of that to like preschool age. So those programs, think about all the people that were involved in that. You had a Lions Club, you had the preschool that allowed us to come in, the parents that were okay with it, then the doctor that did the reading, you know, all those kind of things.
Okay, Melissa, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back and we'll talk more about if someone's interested in the Coe Lions Club, how they could join and check out your meetings. My guest today is Melissa Tanner, who is the president of the Coe Lions Club. You are listening to the Mike Care Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz here at Front Row Sports Bar and Grill, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Coe, Florida. And please stay with us for a very last segment of this edition of our program today. Well, welcome back to our very last segment of this edition of the Mike Carra Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz here at Front Row Sports Bar and Grill, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Coe, Florida. And my guest today is Melissa Tanner, who is the president of the Coe Lions Club. And we've been talking, Melissa, all about the Coe Lions Club and Lions Club all around Florida. And one bit of trivia before we get into this is that the Lions were known as Knights for the blind, and that was a given title from Helen Keller. And Melissa, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, she came to one of the conventions in the early 1900s, and she made a challenge to the Lions Club and asked them to become the Knights for the Blind to help with that project, which obviously, you know, that was something very near and dear to her. So that's something that has stuck with us for the last, you know, 90 years. The Lions Club is 102 years old now, the entire Lions Club. So it's been something of a pride, you know, to help keep that mission moving forward.
So now, Melissa, we want to talk about, you know, how people can get involved, becoming members. But first of all, you know, we know a lot of times people are busy and sometimes people just want to write a check. So, I mean, that's good, too. You know, any donations, the glasses, any sort of monetary, you know, maybe even some sort of item you need, it's all welcome then.
Correct. We don't really take food items, but there are clubs around that do things like that. But yeah, if you want to make a monetary donation, or even if you just need volunteer hours for whatever, whether it's community service or through your church you need something, or maybe you're in high school working on your Bright Futures hours. So they can even just volunteer for an event. So like, for instance, the parade, we need a lot of people to help with parking, help with getting the floats lined up right. And so we have a lot of volunteers that come and help us with events like that. So volunteerism, you're welcome to come, and you don't have to join. You can just come and volunteer. But yeah, monetary, eyeglasses, just about anything really we can take. Walmart last year donated Christmas trees that was out of their stock, and we worked to get those to people that needed them. So we try to figure a fit for something if somebody tries to give us something.
And now, Melissa, talk us through the process of becoming a member of the COE Lions Club. I mean, what's the kind of the first step if somebody's interested?
Sure. So we meet on the first and third Mondays of the month at 7 at our clubhouse there at 108 Taylor Street. And the first step would be for you to come to a meeting. And so at the meeting, we normally host dinner. It's a hot meal. And then we go into the club of, you know, club things where we talk about everything from the financials to upcoming events to things we need help with. And we would like for people to come to two meetings and an event before they join, but there is an application they can fill out. We typically get them assigned to a sponsor. That's the person that will help them out their first year. And if they're interested, then after the two meetings and such, they would fill it out, bring it back to the meeting. We would then vote. So that at that point, if you become a member, there are dues. We're regular volunteers. There's not dues. And the dues go, again, to help support the local club as well as the district and everything. But it's pretty easy. You just come to the meetings and see if you like us. And if not, maybe you like the Winter Garden Club better, so you go see them. You know, it just really depends. But, yeah, just come and meet us and see if you think you'd like to become a member.
And is it kind of up to you how much time and effort? I mean, like you said, you have a job. A lot of times people have jobs, but maybe retirees have the time to do all these events. So, you know, people can kind of pick and choose the events. Or maybe there's certain ones that you kind of encourage people to come to. Huh?
Yeah, they definitely can pick and choose. So, like, for instance, we have members that are busy a lot in the summer, right. So they can't help out as much. So they try to focus on the winter events. So, yeah, there's not a requirement of so many events. It's just help out where you can. 75% attendance at meetings is strongly encouraged because that's where you learn about what's going on. If you want to work just the parade, you work just the parade. Or if you'd rather work the shred events, you work just the shred events. So you really get to pick and choose.
So what is the minimum? Is like 18? You have to be at least 18?
You do have to be an adult, yeah. Okay. Otherwise, you're considered a Leo. And again, we don't have a Leo's club at our club. But yeah, you should be an adult.
Okay. But under 18 kids still volunteer, like you said, for the haunted house and this shred event. I mean, they could still,
correct.
Do these events.
Yeah. So like some of the events like the haunted house, because you're in the dark and stuff, your parent needs to consent. Oh, okay. We have a form they fill out. But usually like the parade and stuff, you just show up and help us out. So it just really depends on the event. We can always use, I mean, I don't think there's an age limit. I mean, if you're under 18 and not a teenager, maybe an adult should probably stay with you just in case, you know. Like the haunted house, a lot of them are teenagers that are from the local high schools, and so their parents, you know, sign the waiver, and then they come and participate.
Do you have, like, a lot of families that do this together sometimes, too? Or?
Yeah, we do, and we actually have, like, a family rate. So, like, if you're going to join as a family, there are discounts for membership fees when you do that kind of thing. And then we have multi-generations. I mean, we actually have members whose children and grandchildren are involved in one way, shape, or form with us. So it is a multi-generational thing, too.
Okay, Melissa, so we want to talk a little bit about, you know, your social media, your website. So do you have a website for the COE Lions Club then?
So we do. We have a website. It's COELionsClub.com. We have Facebook, so that's just COE Lions Club. We have Instagram. You'll be surprised, but it's COE Lions Club. Yeah. And we have Twitter, which is also COE Lions Club. Usually when I'm the social media person, so usually when I post events or posting for upcoming things, I post it to all of those. So you'll see it on the website, but you can also see it on Facebook. But the asylum itself, because it's such a big event, it has its own Facebook page, which is Asylum OLC for COE Lions Club. So yeah, we do have the social media media set up so they can follow us there and see if there's an event they're interested in, or maybe they're interested in health fair, but I don't know when the next one's coming up. Yeah. They could watch the site and see that. If you're someone looking for volunteer hours, definitely watch the site because the events will be put up there. So maybe it's an eyeglass sword or something like that. We're pretty much out to all of them. We don't do Snapchat, but most of the others we have in the major social media areas.
Oh. So now with this eyeglass, the eyeglass, but as far as the hearing, where I was from in Chicago, they had a big bus. Is that something that you get, or not really the bus that, huh?
We haven't done that since I've been a member. Maybe it's something they used to do.
Okay.
And not every club offers all the same things. I said, there's a couple that do bingo events.
Yeah.
So there might be other clubs in the area that do that, but we haven't. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We encourage everyone to check out, your website and check out. So people are also willing to, you're also welcome to come and check out the events, or just even meet you and talk to you about the Lions Club at an event then.
Yep.
And say, hey, I heard this radio show and I'm just here at this haunted house to support you, but like more information, they could do that?
Most certainly. They can show up on one of the nights we're open, and there will be plenty of Lions on hand where we can get someone to talk to them and they can learn more about us or kind of see how it works, that kind of thing.
Oh, fantastic. And finally, do you do like any videos, or you have any actual videos on YouTube or anything like that? Or?
No, we're not really doing YouTube. I mean, like, we have done some makeshift videos that are on Facebook,
okay.
But yeah, we really haven't gotten into the YouTube thing yet.
Okay, Melissa, we really do appreciate your time, and we encourage everyone to, check out your website, at least, check it out. Oh, yeah, and on your website, do you have a way for people to make monetary donations, or how do they send the check?
Our address and our mailing address is on the website. If they're interested in registering for the Christmas parade, the registration form is up on the website.
Right, website.
If we do other events that require registration, those usually are like the golf tournament, those will be up on the website when they're available. As far as sending money, we can take donations through Zelle. They can get a hold of me and I could do that, or they could mail it in, or come to a meeting and just drop it off.
You know. Okay, Melissa, any final thoughts or anything else you'd like to mention about the Ocoee Lions Club?
No, I mean, I think the biggest thing is here, the Ocoee High School is part of this 2020 for 2020 event. If you've got your glasses, send them in with your high school student, or if you know a high school student, give it to them so they can win. I think they're trying to compete against each other, so that's kind of a cool thing to get the kids involved with serving the community as well.
Okay, Melissa, and if you could give the website one final time.
Sure, it's Ocoee Lions Club, as if it was one word, .com.
Okay, thanks so much, Melissa. My guest has been Melissa Tanner, the president of the Ocoee Lions Club, and you've been listening to the Mike Kara Radio Show, the Central Florida Buzz, here at Front Row Sports Bar and Grill, 146 North Clark Road in beautiful Ocoee, Florida. And please catch us again next time.
You've been listening to the Central Florida Buzz with Mike Kara, the podcast for Central Floridians who want to be in the know what's happening in Orange, Lake, Osceola, and Seminole counties. Sponsored by the Central Florida Home Brewers, the premier craft and homebrew club. Learn to brew beer, kombucha, mead, and make wine by visiting www.cfhb.org. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you back here next week.